Jack Mayer is a pediatrician and a writer. He was last here to talk about his book, Life in a Jar, the Irina Sendler Project. His new novel is Before the Court of Heaven. Three themes impel the book: understanding the rise of Nazism, unfathomable forgiveness, and the complexity of redemption. It is a portrait of Germany between world wars, from revolution and unrest following World War I to the rise of the Nazis, World War II, as well as the Holocaust. Again, the name of the new book is Before the Court of Heaven, and we welcome Jack Mayer back to the roundtable this morning. Very nice to see you again, sir.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure being here.
So just remind us, tell us a little bit about the last time you were here, we were talking about Life in a Jar and that whole project. Did that any way lead to this?
Well, actually, it's the other way around.
This
book started in 1992, so I'm probably the world's slowest writer. It's taken me 25 years to write this book. I interrupted writing Before the Court of Heaven to do Life in a Jar. But I was first inspired by the story I heard at a Yom Kippur sermon in 1992 at Middlebury College. And it was a sermon about the redemption of a young fascist assassin, one of the early Nazis, Ernst Teschoff, who participated in the assassination of Foreign Minister Walter Rathenau, who was the highest-ranking Jew in Weimar Germany. And this was in 1922. The story was just a fascinating story. So I had been a closet writer before that, and was just started to do some research and found in the library that the Library of Congress had a microfilm of this young fascist assassin's arrest, his interrogation, and the trial that he was in 1922, and it was a real. It was amazing to have these transcripts as a writer. It's a treasure to have transcripts of your actual character,
right?
And to be able to have the dialogue be accurate based on the transcripts. And this trial was really a window onto the early fascists, the early Nazis, and how they were festering within Germany's Weimar democracy and how they were already trying back then to overthrow the democracy and bring a dictatorship to power.
So I have a lot of questions, but let me start with, at what point did you want to tell the story and write a novel, and ultimately why did it take you so long to put it all together?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do this because this I think has to do with my own background with the Holocaust. Something that Elie Wiesel said that he who hears a witness becomes a witness. So my background is that I was born after the war. My parents were narrowly escaped the Holocaust. Many others in my family did not, and the Holocaust was. It was sort of the iconic story of my childhood growing up. I grew up in Washington Heights, that mm-hmm. part of Manhattan where a lot of the German Jewish survivors settled. I didn't speak English until I was 5 years old. Everything was in German. The adults in my life at that time had this sort of nervous, hushed adult conversation about the Holocaust that they kept from my brother and I. It was frightening. It was mysterious. It was impossible to grasp. Yet it was everywhere. It was the atmosphere that I grew up with. So, having that silence, that sort of silence about the Holocaust, was manifesting in my life in a very peculiar way. That when I was in my 20s. I first learned that my grandfather had been arrested on Kristallnacht, November 9th, 1938, mm-hmm. and was imprisoned in Dachau. It wasn't until the year 2000, when my parents were interviewed for Steven Spielberg's Shoah project, that my mother first brought out these artifacts of her life under Nazi Germany. Her identity papers marked stamped Jew, her certificate from the Frankfurt Nursing School, where she graduated from, stamped with swastikas. My brother and I had never seen these, so I've always wondered what was my mission in terms of the Holocaust, and then when Life in a Jar came along, and I met Irena Sendler and the rescuers and some of the children interviewed, children she rescued, it became clear to me that really my mission is to write and speak about this history. So Before the Court of Heaven kind of started as this amazing story of this harrowing redemption of this young fascist assassin. It was my attempt to really get into the head of a young Nazi to try to understand how someone could adopt this horrible way of thinking. And in fleshing out his story and the story of his family and how ordinary Germans really became enmeshed in extraordinary crimes, it took on a whole life of its own. And I think this also has some implications for how we tell stories, how we tell history, how history is passed on from one generation to another. That somehow with historical fiction, which really animates this history in a very powerful way. And for me, this young fascist, young man's story, was this very, it really animated the what could ordinarily maybe be a dry history about Weimar Germany in the interwar period. But it became this compelling drama of him and his family and the love affair that he has throughout his whole life.
You spoke a moment ago about getting in the head of this character, and what are the challenges in doing that? And at what point did you realize that you were there, or that you had arrived where you wanted to be?
Well, one decision I made early on in writing this book was that it would that I would have a fixed point of view of coming from my protagonist Ernst Teschoff. So everything that happens in this novel is seen through his eyes and through his understanding and his internal monologues and his internal dialogue. And that, just in terms of the craft of writing historical fiction, that right away shaped the arc of this story, that I was clearly seeking to understand how his character changed from before World War I into the World War II years. One of the wonderful things about historical fiction is that it allows you to gaze into history and make a compelling story of it that is sticky for people, that really makes them understand it and feel it in a visceral way. One of the two epigraphs of my book is by Picasso, and it's that art is a lie which makes us realize the truth. And I think that's the power of historical fiction.
Absolutely. When you're telling a story like this, and certainly one that is personal, but also so meaningful to so many of us, the lessons abound. What do you feel in the course of writing a novel like this that you can add to the discussion, and at the end, make people think and make parallels to what we're seeing today?
Well, you know, when I started writing this book, it did not feel like so much of a cautionary tale as it does now. The book came out about 4 months ago, and it is I'm getting lots of requests to speak about it because of the uncomfortable echoes of this history and the reverberations of this history that we are experiencing and learning about now. It's a something that George Santayana said, that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And we are sort of enjoined to recognize when there are echoes of painful history and how to prevent their recurrence. I'm not a conspiracy person, and I'm a scientist. I believe in evidence, mm-hmm. But I think when one hears echoes of a very disturbing history, like the rise of the Third Reich, that we need to pay attention to those echoes. Now, it's not going to happen the same way if something awful happens to our democracy, and our democracy is certainly fragile. History, though cyclical, is never identical, so mm-hmm. recurrences never manifest in the same way, unfortunately. So we often never see them coming. And I think, you know, we're at this point where many of the conditions that occurred during the Weimar democracy that led to the Third Reich we're seeing them again now. Things like the loss of trust in institutions, a feeling of social humiliation by large proportions of our citizens, political blunders, and economic distress. These sort of four conditions that kind of led to the fall of the Weimar democracy, we hear an echo of some of those now, and we need to pay attention to that.
When it's all said and done, when you finish something like this, especially something that you've been working on for such a long time, two-part question. One is how do you feel when you've completed something like this and you send it out, and how does it set you up for what you do next?
Well, this has been such a part of my life for such a long time, this
right.
story, which is again sort of a gift. I mean, I'm a pediatrician, so I have a day job. I don't need to crank out a novel every year as my work. I mean, I do this as an avocation, as a labor of love. So it's wonderful to be able to live with your characters for such a long period of time, and to watch the evolution. And as I worked with my editors, and particularly Michael Lowenthal, who was my first editor, who was just a wonderful novelist in his own right, it allowed me to really enjoy the evolution of this character, and to fine tune the writing of the novel and the pace of the novel, and to also keep it completely accurate to the historical record. And I have submitted this novel to scholars of both history and the Holocaust at Middlebury College and the University of Vermont Center for Holocaust Studies, who have reviewed and vetted the accuracy of my account of Weimar.
Well, it's an amazing project, and as is so much of your work, the new book is Before the Court of Heaven, and it's just fascinating. Thank you so much for coming here and for sharing with us. Do you have any events coming up that you would want to share with us, or?
Well, I do a lot of talking for the Vermont Humanities Council about this book at libraries and synagogues, churches in Vermont. The Bookstock Literary Festival, which is in Woodstock, New York, is coming up in July, and I'll be speaking
Excellent.
There for that.
So. Well, you can find out more. It's Before the Court of Heaven. Jack Mayer, thank you very much for being with us on the Roundtable. Great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
Listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.